Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. We've been talking about two great attributes that wealth creators have, and one is the entrepreneurial spirit and the willingness to take risk, and the other is patience. And in the last episode, we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, and I'm sure you noticed that there was a little bit of a sequence there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And verse 5 says, and to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. I kind of like the way the King James reads. I kid about it all the time. It's like Texan. I mean, it talks about britches. It talks about victuals. And that last verse, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That's like saying they make you where you can't not be successful, or better in Texan, can't not be successful, right? You can't not be successful. That's what it says. So look at the things it mentions in there from last time. Number one, virtue. Now that Greek word for virtue there is interesting. It's arete, and it means valor or excellence. So you have the gift of the faith of Christ, which the Holy Spirit gives you at the moment he regenerates you, right? So you have Christ's faith, but he says, add to that gift of faith, virtue. Now this means valor and excellence. Valor, what does that mean? It means the ability to take risk and be brave. I mean, that sounds entrepreneurial, doesn't it? And to find excellence. And then that virtue, he says, add to that knowledge. Well, we talk about skill sets all the time. How many episodes of this show have you heard us talk about that God's promise of wealth is a conditional promise, and you got to read in the scripture and find what the conditions are? What are the things we have to do for him to say, okay, then I will give you wealth? Well, we know what they are. We've talked about them so many times, but one of them is skill sets. And the biblical terms for that are knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and getting instruction, and so forth. We've talked about it many times. So here it lists virtue being added to the faith that God's given us. We add virtue, we add knowledge, that skill sets, and then we add patience, which is what we talked about last time. I'm going to continue on that word patience this time. But I want you to notice that the faith part is a gift from God. It's by grace. It's undeserved. It's not given to us by anything that we did to deserve it. It's totally free. It's a gift, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? But Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is followed by Ephesians 2, 10. And it says, God has ordained that we would also walk in good works. So now, once we have this gift of faith and salvation, and we've been regenerated, which is the cause of our salvation, is that the Holy Spirit regenerated us while we were yet in our sins, hath he quickened us. He is the cause, and everything else is an effect. And as the great Charles Spurgeon said, an effect can never be the cause of the cause. So everything else is an effect. All these other things come from the fact that he saved us. They don't help save us. They are the fruits of our salvation. But we are held accountable to act. There are imperatives in the New Testament, such as lay aside for your children. And then Proverbs says, for your children's children. Those are imperatives. So we're supposed to add virtue, in other words, bravery, valor, risk-taking ability is what that means, and excellence. and knowledge and patience, along with the faith that God gave us, we're commanded to do that. So I'm going to take you into another passage for today's show. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. You might call this a parallel passage to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and following. But this one has a sequence also, and this one is really important. I love this passage. It says in verse 3, Romans chapter 5, verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." Now, I want to throw this idea in there at the end, and I want to say, you know, it's kind of like the other passage in 2 Peter 1, where it ends up and says, you know, if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. It's interesting that the Bible puts that in the negative, and I think it's because that has a bigger impact on us. We don't want to be unfruitful and barren, right? So we pay attention to what the scripture says to do there. Well, this one ends with that sort of negative ending too. It says, it makes us not ashamed. Well, yeah, I don't want to be ashamed, but what is the opposite of the biblical meaning of the word ashamed? If you look at how the Hebrews take a look at that all through, you know, the Old Testament coming into the New Testament, ashamed is the opposite of being successful. To the Hebrew, and when they talk about being blessed, they're talking about they got more camels than you do. They have more sheep. They have more cattle than you do. It's not just spiritual blessings. It's physical blessings on this earth as well. And it's the same way in the New Testament. Nothing ever changed that, even though a lot of pastors in the 1800s and 1900s sometimes would say, oh no, for the Christian, it's in the heavenlies where we have our blessings. Well, yeah, it is, but it's not only there, it's here too. So we talk about this where he says that hope makes you not ashamed. It's like saying hope is, if you do these things, if you follow this logical sequence or jump from stone to stone to stone as you get towards the goal at the end of those stepping stones, then you will find success. So if we want the opposite of being ashamed in our economic lives and our life as a whole, even our spiritual lives, we want success, and we must follow the sequence. So let's watch where the success comes from. Let's look at these steps towards success. First, in this passage in Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5, it says tribulation leads to patience. And the old King James English says tribulation works patience. And so it means tribulation, as we go through it, it is the cause of added patience in our lives, right? So tribulation leads to patience. How many times have you heard people joke at church? Well, don't ever pray for patience. And, you know, they say that because they've read this verse and they know because if you do that, God's going to bring trouble into your life. Well, it's we shouldn't joke about it. I mean, it is a fact of life. Maybe it is a good joke. I don't know. But the truth is, we should look at it the other way around. We have been promised that we only enter the kingdom of heaven through tribulation. So that's a fact. That's because of the curse which we caused. God didn't cause that. So we can't blame tribulation on God. I mean, when you look at all the beauty in this world, a beautiful waterfall or the beautiful blue color in the Caribbean or the beautiful mountaintops we can visit and, you know, the islands we can see, all these beautiful things God's created. We can see the face of a newborn baby, especially a newborn grandbaby, right? If you're my age. And all of these beautiful things. But guess what? We get tribulation with that. We don't just get that. We don't get the blessings only. We get tribulation because we're in a world that we caused when we fell into sin and brought sin into this world. And all of the creation, the Bible says, groans because of what Adam and Eve did and what we did in them, in their loins, so to speak. So yeah, the tribulation is going to be there, but look at it from a positive sense, not a negative. It's not you praying for patience that causes the tribulation. That's a joke, right? That's not how it works. What happens is tribulation is there because of our sin. It's just there. It's in a sinful world full of fallen people. And the Bible says that the heart of the human is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And Genesis to Revelation, it teaches the depravity of man. And so, I mean, until the Lord regenerates us, we we have nothing of virtue in us, nothing of valor that's in us from God's viewpoint anyway, nothing of holiness or goodness. The Bible says there's none good. There's none that seeketh after God, not one. And so we know these things. And so because of that, we have tribulation in this life. I mean, we even have death because of that. And you think about this now, you think, well, why would God bring all this to pass? Well, think about it. Would you really want to live forever on this earth in your current sinful state? So death is a blessing, right? And the rapture would be even better. So that's what I'm waiting for. But that's another subject altogether. But we're going to have tribulation. It's a fact of life. We have it. It's right around the corner every day of our lives. It's right around the corner. So just we got to know that. But the beautiful thing is that God works all things together for good to those who are called. That means, you know, he calls us and regenerates us and that love him. And patience comes out of this. And that is an amazing attribute that once a person has it, he has one of the two things that wealth creators have to have. It only comes through tribulation. I've taught a lesson before to entrepreneurs about the fact that in the Bible, the first condition of success that God gives is that he's going to bring failure or testing to the entrepreneur before he brings the success. And there are a lot of reasons for that. So we won't be prideful, and so we won't think we're self-made men. And the Lord brings us through trouble first. So if you don't have patience, you'll never get to the success because you'll quit. And entrepreneurs that don't quit are the ones that become billionaires and millionaires. So you know, you have to have patience to have that attribute of not quitting in the midst of all the tribulation and the failures that are going to happen. So patience right here, tribulations leads to patience. Now watch the next step. Patience leads to experience. Now, wouldn't you see the logic in that? Do you know that it's the things that I have learned in business failures that led to the business successes that I have had? And I've found it down through four generations in our family, and it's going to continue to be the factor that causes my children and my grandchildren to be successful too, and yours. So we could say it's not only the successes, but certainly the failures and the tribulations we've gone through because of that, that give us the experience that we now have that make us successful. I mean, you have to have experience, right? And tribulation leads to patience, and patience leads to experience. Now, it goes on and says experience leads to hope. Let's think about that word for a minute, because in the old King James English, the word hope has changed through the years. Back then, it meant very close to what it means in the Greek word there for hope, elpis. And that Greek word means the joyful expectation of a certain future event. Now, you have to agree, hope doesn't mean that now, because, you know, I would say it this way. I hope the Cowboys win this fall, but they probably won't, right? It has a negative. Hope has a negative to it now. But back in the 1600s, it didn't. It was a very positive word. And in the Greek, it's very positive. In fact, it's almost a synonym of the word faith, right? So let's pull this thing together because it's really important. Without patience, we will never gain experience because we will quit. And God puts quitters on the bench. I'll guarantee you that because I've seen it so often in life and I see it in the scripture. The Bible definition of hope is the joyful expectation of good things that are sure to come. No success ever comes without hope. And hope is the first cousin of faith in the Bible. So think about that. If it's true that it takes tribulation or trouble to lead to patience, then we're going to have that. That's a given. We're going to have trouble. But we need to let that develop patience in us. God, through his power, will work in our lives, but we have to try to be patient too. And that's where we grow, right? We grow in that. But God's power has to bring it. But the tribulation is a tool that God uses to bring it. So the tribulation brings patience. The patience brings the experience that we have to be a successful person. And the experience leads to hope. And without that, you will never have success. So that joyful expectation of the success has to be there first. Now, listen, how many times have you heard people talk about you can't let yourself be a negative thinker? You can't tell yourself how stupid you are. You can't tell yourself, well, I don't deserve this. Or you can't say, well, they're wealthy because they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I mean, they've always had wealth in their family. That's not true. The Bible says every wealthy family came from the dust of poverty. So that's the cop-out. There had to be a person in every family that started the wealth, and that was my great-grandfather in our family, Captain Brown. You probably heard the story. And he had a sixth-grade education, was a junk dealer, and poor as dirt, right? And by the time he died, he owned an oil company, which was the largest oil field at the time in Mahia, Texas. Okay, so he went through a lot of tribulation and trial and had a lifetime of patience that led to enormous experience in the oil field. And that experience led to a hope his entire life. He had this vision or this hope that he would find success for his family. And when he was in his late 60s, he did. He owned the oil company and turned it into millions. And so hope led to his success. I mean, because think about it. If you don't have that joyful expectation and you keep telling yourself you don't deserve it, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you probably thought that that came from these New Agers who always talk about successful thinking and all that. Well, guess what? They even get a germ of truth sometimes, don't they? But that truth originated in the scripture. And right here in this passage in Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 3, we see it, that experience leads to hope and hope leads to success. Without hope, you're not going to be successful. So this is what we see. We've got to keep our thought life healthy. We got to stay focused on the Lord and realize it's His business. It's His money. I mean, it's His journey, and we're privileged to walk through that journey with Him, together with Him, and He wants us to, and He takes great joy in it as well. And so we can take a lot of the worry out of our entrepreneurial fear, you know, take the worry out, because it's not our business. It's not our money. And so He is walking through this with us. In fact, it's His business and His money, and we're good stewards together with Him. So we can have that hope that, yes, since God started us out on this journey, He is going to complete this journey with success, and focus on that hope. And that's what leads to the success. All right. So we're going to talk about this just a little bit more detail in the next show. And we're going to look at a little bit larger context that this passage is found in. It's going to be really helpful. So I hope if you enjoyed this show today that you will rate and review it so that people with similar interests can find us. And we look forward to being with you next time, because we're going to finish out this beautiful idea.